Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Strauss Group third quarter 2012 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Wednesday, November 21st, 2012. I would like to remind everyone that the conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of the company. These statements are only predictions and may change as time passes. Strauss does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing industry and market trends, reduced demand for our products, the timely development of our new products and their adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry and price reductions, as well as due to risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the ISA. With us online today are Mr. Gadi Lessen, President and CEO of Strauss Group, Mr. Shachar Florence, CFO, and Ms. Taya Fessler, Director of Investor Relations. Mr. Lessen, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this quarterly call for the Strauss Group results. With me today are Shachar Florence, our CFO, and Taya Fessler, our Director of Investor Relations. Let's move please to slide number three, the Q3 highlights. We had a strong performance in the third quarter of 2012, driven primarily by record EBIT in both the coffee segment and in Sabra. Strauss Group sales were up 3.1%, while adjusted EBIT was up 26.1%. We continue to expand our instant coffee operation in Russia, which is a key market for us, while the new freeze-dried plant we operate in Germany met productivity targets ahead of schedule and positively contributed to margin expansion. Sabra, our partnership with PepsiCo, is continuing to lead the category of refrigerated dips and spreads in the U.S., capturing 63% of the category growth and posting high double-digit top-line growth while improving EBIT margins. During the third quarter, Obela completed the acquisition of Copper Pot, a prominent chilled dips company in the Australian market. Copper Pot is an excellent operating team and manufacturing facility and will strengthen the launch of Obela's brand and product in Australia. We experienced some softness in the performance of Strauss Israel, largely reflecting a general softness in the Israeli food and beverage market as a whole and in the dairy market in particular. Strauss Water sales growth 5%, and in August, Strauss Water closed the transaction with Virgin Green Fund, following which the shareholding in the Virgin Strauss Water are approximately 72% held by Strauss Water and 28% by Virgin. After the third quarter, we declared a dividend of 140 million to be distributed next week. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Shachar Florence, our CFO, to discuss our financial results in more detail. Shachar, please.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. We'll talk about the third quarter, and we might say a few words in the end on the current situation in Israel, which about half of our business is located. So we'll start with the third quarter. Gadi mentioned most of the highlights, but let's start at the beginning to look at the overall picture. The third quarter was a record high quarter for Strauss, starting with the top line, going through the gross margins, profitability, operating margin, net income, and cash flow. If we measure ourselves in the last six, seven years, and probably even before, this was a record high quarter for the Strauss Group. To remind everybody, this is despite our investments in new categories and new geographies that most of them are going through our P&L and hitting our EBIT and EBIT net profit and cash flow. As highlights, yes, this quarter, Sabra and the coffee and mainly the international activities in coffee out of Israel excelled. Sabra sales went up 34%, margin reached 17%. And as we said to the market, this year we'll end up in Sabra in over 10%. And as you see in this third quarter, 17%, which means that the hummus business is even with higher margins because, as we said previously, salsa, guacamole, and dairy dips haven't reached such profitability yet due to the smaller scale of the business. So for sure, we crossed the profitability we had in the old factory together with a growth of 35-34% year over year. Sabra did excellent, and we expect the business to keep the same growth pace. Looking on the coffee, with a strong growth both in sales and EBIT. For sure, the impact of the reduction in green coffee prices, we got the benefit of this reduction. And as we said before, the coffee company should be measured in a longer than one quarter period. We said it when the margin squeezed a bit at the end of Q3 and 4 last year. We keep saying it right now when we have pretty high EBIT margins and gross margins today. But right now, in the last quarter or two, the coffee prices are relatively stable, still higher than the average of 2010 and before. Of course, lower than the average of 2011, and we do hope that we'll be able to keep the same profitability going forward. On the other hand, yes, the Israeli market went through softness in Q3, and our business together with it, mainly due to lower trading days due to the Jewish holidays, and also softness in the general market. We will talk about the different businesses within Israel in a short time. Strauss Water growth 5%, mainly in Israel. The businesses in China and the UK are still relatively small and doesn't have such an influence. So in Israel, we're able to generate the growth that, for of course, impact also the profit. And last but not least, the cash flow, a strong cash flow. Again, going backward, just to remind all of us, when the commodities prices went up, the inventory on the shelf, though we kept the same quantity, cost more, and thus we had not so good, if I can say so, cash flow last year. Nowadays, that the commodities prices goes down, the cash is going back to our bank, and you can see it in the strong operating cash flow. So, looking on the numbers, slide 6 and 7, you can see a strong growth in the gross profit and the sales. A very strong profit in the EBIT and the net net profit, 26% in the EBIT and 14% in the net profit. I will mention it now, though we like to measure ourselves according to the non-GAAP numbers. This quarter we had quite a large transaction selling real estate. That contributed to the accounting numbers and we ended up with more than 124% growth in the net profit. Mainly the differences between the non-GAAP and the GAAP is those one-times. As you can see in the EBIT numbers, we almost don't have any differences between the GAAP and non-GAAP numbers. If we are looking on the three quarters, we can see still a nice growth in the sales over 8%. Of course, it's higher than the growth of the food market in Israel, and thus it means that we took market share all along the year, with growth again both in the EBIT and in the gross margins, both in the GAAP and the non-GAAP, 11% growth in the EBIT in the non-GAAP. When we get to the net profit, due to the fact that all of our mature and profitable businesses earned more and paid more taxes, and on the other hand, right now we cannot offset the losses of the new businesses, mainly Strauss Water, U.K., China, and Obela in Australia and Mexico, and we do not create tax assets, deferred tax assets. We ended up with the same profit in the non-GAAP numbers. Of course, the one-timers in the GAAP numbers brought us to almost 60% growth in the net profit. Looking on slide number eight, just to repeat the fact that this is a record high quarter for Strauss, with over 2,078 million shekels turnover, a growth of 3% in the quarter and 8% in the 9 months. You can see that, as we mentioned before, the stars of this quarter was Sabra and Coffee International, that are responsible for most of the growth. It's true again for the gross profit and the EBIT. Slides number 10 and 11, you can see gross profit 737 million shekels versus 688, but not less important improvement in the profitability. And when we look at the EBIT, this phenomena is even more impressive, with the improvement of the EBIT margins, again mainly by improvement in the coffee performance and Sabra reaching a record high EBIT number, and the same phenomena for sales. Here the main contributors were the Coffee International and Sabra. When we look on fun and indulgence and health and wellness, which represent the Israeli business, Strauss Israel, together with the coffee business in Israel and the water in Israel, we are almost at par, and we'll talk about health and wellness and fun and indulgence in a few slides. To the net profit, this is a record high quarter for Strauss Group with 69 million shekels net profit. The only quarter that comes close to it is the third quarter in 2008. That in this quarter, just to remind everybody, we had a large finance income due to the sale of the coffee, 25% of the coffee company, that we do not adjust for the non-GAAP. In the non-GAAP, we just only one-time capital gains, non-cash compensation, and some of the commodity hedge that we do. So if we exclude this 31 million shekels in finance income that we had, this is the best third quarter Strauss ever had. If we look into the businesses, starting with Strauss Israel in slide number 17, we can see the softness with 1% decline in revenue from 750 million shekels to 743 million. The reduction in the EBIT from 80 million to 76 million, accompanied by erosion in the EBIT margin. Here, the picture is a little bit more complex because there is a difference between Fun & Indulgence and the health and wellness business that its main business is the dairy. In the dairy business, we can see also in the nine-month a reduction in the profitability. Milk prices went up sharply this year. You can see it later on in the next slide. While we reduced prices at the end of last year. Here, over the Q3 and the nine months, you can see the reduction in the profit. Though, in the sales, over the nine months, we managed to keep sales. The reduction in the margins, we ended up with a slightly lower EBIT. On the other hand, if we're looking on Fun & Indulgence, here the picture is different between the nine months and the three months due to timing differences. You can see that in the nine months, Fun & Indulgence is doing a bit better than last year, both in sales and in the EBIT. Though in the last quarter, mainly due to lower trading days and timing differences of the holiday, the outcome or the results of the business were lower, 5% in sales and 12% in the EBIT. And here I'm flipping between slide number 19 and 20, and you can see the different behavior of health and wellness and Fun & Indulgence between the nine months and the three quarters. In the next slide, you can see the milk prices. As you know, the recommendation that we still don't know how it will happen, but to reduce prices by $0.25. Tell you the truth, we'll still wait for it to happen. In the meantime, at the beginning of Q4, we increased the prices of the milk product to mitigate this increase in the milk prices. This will compensate us in Q4 for this increase and allow us to deal with the increase and keep our margins. This is about the milk, and I know that usually there are lots of questions about this market segment, and our answer is that as long as the milk prices will go up, we'll increase prices, and as you know, we did it at the beginning of Q4. Going back to the coffee, this is a record high quarter for Strauss Coffee with almost 1.05 billion turnover, 2.5% growth in the quarter. As Gadi mentioned, and you can see it in the next slide, a very nice performance for our business in CIS, former Russia and Ukraine mainly, sorry, with nice increase in the sales. The new factory allows us to have a better competition ability in this market, allows better margins and not less important, innovation. All the production of the new facility is going to Russia, and we do hope that we can grow the performance of this new factory. Not less important, the other businesses grew as well. We did some efforts of improving our business in Eastern Europe, and mainly Poland and Romania grew, and you can see it here. But the profitability of the business is better, and as you can see in our reports, more than 30% increase in the Eastern European business profit, reaching a record high EBIT profits for the coffee company with 86 million shekels. And again, not less important, a very nice profitability. And for the question that probably you have, can we keep it? As we always say, we have to measure this business in the long term, and profitability of between 7.5%-8.5% is reasonable for this business. Yes, there will be quarter that will be over it, there will be quarter that will be lower than that, but this is, if you can look on our performance in the past, this is the margins that we expect. And I don't want to go now through all the numbers, but a nice increase if we are looking only in Q3, a profit of the international business, more than 55% increase. And if we are looking on the 9 months, this is the increase of the 30% that I mentioned. In the Israeli business, we did well as well, a little bit less than the improvement of the international business, but still 25% in the 3 months and 11% in the 9 months improvement in the EBIT numbers. And you can see the coffee prices in longer historical perspective. Going to Sabra and Obela business, Gadi mentioned that Sabra did very nice, and again, here reached a record high sales and EBIT this quarter with 34% growth. Just to remind you, this is the 100% numbers. We consolidated 50% of it, and in the next profit, you can see it's very illustrative here to see by how far the profit of Sabra are versus the previous quarters. And I'm looking on slide number 32, with 47 million shekels profit with versus an average of, let's say, between 15 million-20 million shekels profit in previous years. In the hummus market, we are reaching almost the 60% market share. We believe that if we reach this market, it will enable us really to have the best position versus competition for years to come. And on the other hand, we still have to grow our market share in the fresh salsa. We are the third largest player in this market. The largest one is Garden Fresh, and also in guacamole, where we are between number two and number three versus Holy Guacamole in the U.S. market. These are big markets, and I'm talking only about the fresh market. Our target is to convert some of the people that right now use the preserved product, which is a very huge market, over a $1 billion market, to use the better for you and for sure healthier product, our fresh dips and spreads. Going to the Strauss Water performance, as I mentioned, slide number 36, 5% growth in the quarter, improving the performance also in the bottom line, mainly for Strauss Israel. On the other hand, as I said, we keep invest a relatively large amount in our new activities, and I'm sure that all of you talked with me or with Talia, and we helped to build model about those investments. Last, the smallest operation we have, Max Brenner. We sold our branches in Israel to a franchisee. We will enlarge this business mainly by the franchisee model, and this is the reason we decided not to keep Israel in a different operation model. Right now, the only branches that we operate are the four branches in the U.S., and we intend to open new business in the new model of franchisees in other countries. All in all, we have franchisee business, a big one in Australia with over 40 branches. We have a few in other countries in Asia. Now we converted the Israeli business into a franchise business, and we intend to penetrate new countries under this model. Again, here, the interesting thing to look is in the organic growth, because of course, if we'll compare quarter to quarter, you'll see the reduction because the 2 months of the Israeli business are not consolidated here. If you're looking on the organic growth, Max Brenner grew 1.7%. And with that, I finished my presentation on the third quarter results. Again, this is a record high quarter for the Strauss Group. And before we will hand out to you for questions, I'll ask Gadi to say some words about the recent situation in Israel.
Okay, so as you know, we are facing a very tough time in Israel. For your information, we have approximately 1,000 employees in the south of Israel. We have one distribution center in Be'er Sheva and four different plants that are nearby Gaza Strip. We are trying to keep the same way that we are serving our clients all over Israel. Our people are working around the clock to first of all, to produce the products, and after that, to distribute and to sell them everywhere. So as you understand, it's not easy, but again, we are trying to keep business as usual under the tough situation. And in the meantime, we are serving all our clients all over Israel. The four plants, we are operating them most of the time. There is only one small plant that is producing the fresh cut vegetables that we closed it because of the situation. And hopefully in the next couple of days, we will reopen it and they will start to produce the fresh vegetable products. So this is in the meantime, and now please feel free to ask us any question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from David Kaplan of Barclays Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I have a couple of questions on margins in general. If I think about the coffee margins, the 8%, I know, Shachar, you said during the call that you think that around the 8%, a little higher, a little lower, is where you expect this business to be, especially if you look historically at the company or at the operations of the coffee business. But if you could talk a little bit about what goes into those margins, what percentage of the cost of goods sold are related to commodity prices versus foreign currency, and so we can get a better sense of how to think about modeling this, given different risks for different reasons, whether they be macro or whether they be commodity risks.
Okay, let's start with the first question, then you lost the next one, David. Thank you for being with us. Usually, we tend to say that in the RNG business, that was most of our business up until recently, about 50% of the selling price is green coffee. But nowadays, when the Russian business is getting bigger and bigger, and as you know, Russia coffee market is composed mainly by instant coffee, and the larger the Russian business is for us, the higher the margins that we will have. Due to the fact that in freeze-dried in all over the world, the margins are higher due to the higher entry barrier that players have in this market segment. Second, we keep improving our margin in Brazil, and we do hope that nowadays that after DAOU Edberg will reconcile their financial and have a better view on their business, they will also understand where they have been in the Brazilian market. On the other hand, just for us, the larger Brazil is even within higher margins than today, it lowers a little bit the average. So here you have a contradictory influence of Brazil on one hand, improving its own performance. On the other hand, the larger it is, the lower the average margins that we have. So here I can't tell you, you know, who comes first, but both of those phenomena are good for the business, though if you measure it by percentage, you might have a conflict here. And if you ask me what goes into the gross margins, it's the production expenses, mainly energy, facilities, and people that salary that works in the factories, and raw material and packaging, relatively, coffee production is not too complex, and so it's not too complex to explain what goes into the gross margins.
Okay. But the moves in green coffee prices or moves in foreign currencies, what kind of impacts should we be thinking about or expecting in a worst-case scenario? You know, something, you know, where it would be reasonable to assume that the hedges weren't working.
Look, it's very difficult to predict, but my assumption, okay, at least for this call, though you know me, and I don't want to give predictions. I think that if you look at our slide number, I'll tell you the slide number. Look at the coffee prices, it's slide number 28. I think you saw the worst. We always said that for us, the influence is the pace of the increase in prices. Usually, if it goes down, it's good for us because we increase margins. But when coffee prices went up sharply, it reduced our margins. This is a graph from 2009 to 2013, or 2012, sorry. But if you look on the coffee prices in bigger perspective, you'll see that the angle of the curve in 2011, 2010, was the sharpest curve that the coffee market ever had in the last maybe 10 years. So, and this is what really influenced us and decreased our margins a bit. So if I'm... It's a speculation, but if I'm trying to speculate, I think you saw the worst when our margins closed a bit in Q3 and Q4 last year, when we started to consume the expensive coffee. As we always said, if the prices goes down in a low pace, we transfer the prices into the market. The same, by the way, if it goes down. If it goes sharply up, we cannot increase prices in the market by 50% in order to compensate for 100% growth in coffee prices. And you can, and you saw, this is history, so you can see how we dealt with such an increase. And yes, it was a reduction, and you can see it in the slides, if we are looking on the gross margins of the coffee company last year, you see the percentages and the profit. And you saw that, yes, the difference was, you know, 1-2% in the EBIT, and now it goes up. You saw the worst. If you're looking for my expectation for green coffee prices in the future, we don't like to do those estimation. We hedge ourself right now when prices went up. We extended the coverage a bit. We are between 6 to 9 months coverage. So we can deal with an increase in the market. But we do not speculate on the coffee price and the green coffee price.
Okay, great. On the Sabra or the on the salads business, the 70% margins. I think you mentioned on the call, you hinted on the call at the very least that you were going to at some point move production into Mexico so that it all wouldn't have to be imported into Mexico. When do you expect that to happen? So, and when would that, you know, when would we see that in the margins, the investment in that, in the margins?
No, just to clarify, you are talking about the production for Mexico?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So David, good morning, afternoon. Regarding Mexico, from the first day, we are producing our products in Mexico. We moved the old plant from New York, from Queens, to Mexico City, and the full production is over there. Of course, we are in the beginning of the journey, but our P&L and results of Mexico and Australia, they are not included in the Sabra P&L. The Sabra P&L is the U.S. market and also the export to Canada. And going back to the margins, as we said in our last meeting 1 quarter ago, that we believe that it's going to be a strong double digit, that means 15% and above. And as we see this quarter, Q3, we are a little bit above the 17% in Sabra. That it includes, of course, the mixture between the hummus and the salsa and the guacamole and the small part of the dairy dips. So all in all, the average, it's 70%, but as you understand, in the hummus, it's a little bit higher.
Yeah, David, I think that there is a small confusion here. At the beginning, before we established Obela, when it was still only Sabra in the business, the Sabra company did export a bit to Mexico, but from the first day we established Obela as a business, with our partners, and we signed this contract, we relocated the old factory of Sabra to Mexico, and we produced from there.
Okay, great. I'm gonna free up the line for someone else. Thanks.
The next question is from Liat Glazer of Excellence. Please go ahead.
Hey, congratulations for the great results. A couple of questions regarding the coffee business. Can you say a few words regarding the trends that you're seeing today in the coffee business in Russia and Brazil? And also, to what extent do you see the Germany factory helping profitability in Russia, and what do we need to see going forward?
Hi, thank you for the question and for the compliments. Let's try to understand the freeze-dried world. There are very few production lines in the world that do not belong to Kraft or Nestlé. Kraft and Nestlé dominate about 80% of the world market in freeze-dried, and this is the reason right now the entry barriers for new players is high. We bought this factory after we reached the threshold of or size thresholds that it will be worthwhile for us, to buy such a manufacturing site. It's much more complex and expensive than the roast and ground factories. Once we bought it, right now we enjoy all the margins that the subcontractors and manufacturers in the world has. And thus the contribution to our Russian business as far as margins, innovation, and also controlling the whole supply chain is material, and it will be improved. You have to understand this is a much more complex factory, and during time, we expect ourselves to have better performance in such a factory. For your question, first of all, it enable us to compete better in the Russian market and have the growth that we need. It's not only the margin, it's the ability to grow by introducing a new product and innovation. Not less important, to have higher margins that enable us to do the right marketing activities and so on and so forth. If I understood the question correctly, this is a very important step for us in Russia. The Russian market is mainly a freeze-dried. About Brazil, it's more of, let's say, a decision for us. The balance between the growth and the margin in the Brazilian coffee market is very tight. Up until now, we grew very fast. You have to understand, if you look backward, we grew about 15% year-over-year. Even this year, even this quarter, local currency, 6.5%. You can imagine that the Brazilian market is not growing at such pace, even though the Brazilian economy is in a good shape. This means that we took market share consistently from our competitors, mainly Sara Lee, or formerly Sara Lee, now Douwe Egberts. To do that, we invested a lot in marketing and building our logistic abilities and so on and so forth to penetrate new regions in Brazil. You were was with us in Brazil, and you saw it, and you saw the differences in the regions between the Northeast, São Paulo, and the South. Currently, we are the largest player in Brazil, and we keep growing faster than the market. And we felt that it's about time to push margins a little bit, and we improved the margins. Again, in the Brazilian market, growth is important as well, and we will try to keep the balance between growth and profitability.
Okay, thank you very much. Just to clarify regarding Sabra, do you see the 17% profitability something sustainable going forward as a result of the improvement in margin from the hummus?
Yes. Sabra has a little bit of seasonality also, so it depends if you ask me about Q3 or on average. On average, 17% is a bit too high. We told the market that we expect ourselves to be between 12% and 15%. Tell you the truth, if it will be only hummus, I would mention even higher numbers. Our plan for next year is to push more salsa and dairy. That mean that it might end, you know, with a smaller reduction in profitability, but since all the products are profitable, if we can do it, then the profit will be even much higher. So, as a guidance, if you want to take it, we estimate it to be 12-15, depends on the quarters, somewhere in the middle, on a yearly base. But on the other hand, it it based on the assumption that we can grow the salsa business and the dairy and guacamole. That mean to have a higher growth base and higher profits, not profitability.
Okay, and last question regarding Israel. You talked a bit about the increase in the dairy raw material. So we anticipate obviously a bit of decrease in margin in Q4 as a result of it. But how do you see your improvement going forward in order to deal with the high, the 9% increase in margin in raw materials?
Raw materials. As we told to the market, we increased prices by about 3%-4%. Raw materials are not the only things that it's not the only component of the COGS. So by increase the prices, we compensated for most of the increase. On the other hand, not by the way, not all of it, not all of it. So, 3%-4% increase in prices do not compensate for the 9% growth in raw material, and on the other hand, also the increase in the energy, salary, and so on. So, but for most of it. But on the other hand, we took along the whole year, and we will take further improvement measures next year. So all in all, as I said before, we estimate that we can compensate as far as profitability percentage-wise for the increase in the raw materials between increase of prices and efficiency measures that we are taking.
Okay, thank you very much.
If there are any additional questions, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. There are no more questions at this time. I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available in 2 hours. In Israel, please call 03-925-5918. Internationally, call 972-3-925-5918. A replay of this call will also be available on the company's website at www.strauss-group.com. Mr. Lesen, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yeah, thank you. So as we saw, Strauss Group had a strong quarter, which reflects the group's capabilities in managing a diverse international business portfolio. The company continues to invest in developing its international activities and strengthening growth drivers while improving efficiencies and further enhancing innovation. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you. This concludes Strauss Group third quarter 2012 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.